Okay, everybody, today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, the next exciting daf, is brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and that is daf Chof Aleph. We're holding about one line down over here in the middle of the small lines, and we got up to Omar Rava. Okay, so let's just remember what's happened. In our Masechet, the first perek outlined the elements of the Arayot. We had 15, and then we went and we listed an additional 6, which are never going to fall the Yibum, and therefore they're not included in the 15 that Aser or Pater the Tzorais. And that was dependent, of course, on the Machlokas about whether a Anusa of a father, so any casual relationships that resulted in children of a father, is a Machlokas, whether that woman that he impregnated is going to be Aser to his sons. So according to the way our Mishnah sets it up, we're not going to have a case where a mother falls to Yibum, but obviously we could have cases like that. And over there, we specifically were Medayik. It says 15 and only 15, and we went through a lot of back and forth. Why not 16, as Levi asks, and why not 17, and we should include the E. And then we ended up wondering why it stressed it so much, and we spoke about cases which are not quite Arias, and nonetheless Pater, because of the mechanisms of Yibum. So we had the Mima Enet, Tzarat Mima Enet, and we had the Sotas. We spoke about Tzarat Sotah, Tzarat Machzir Grushato. So, yes, there were other cases that the Mishnah specifically did not include. This Perek wants to talk about the cases where, although they are not complete arayot, pater from Yibum v'chalitza, because they're not chiyuvei karet, but they are cases where kedushin would be chal. And the reason kedushin would be chal is because we're talking about cases that are a lo ta'aseh, and the lo ta'aseh kedushin is chal, because even on an iser lo ta'aseh, you can have kedushin. And the reason that that's important is because since the pasuk that describes the relationship of Yibum and Chalitza is based on lo chafatzti lekachtan, that I don't want to take this woman. So that's mashma. If you couldn't take this woman anyway, so then you don't do Chalitza either. That's why we said kol ha'olah le'Yibum. Kala olala yibum, olala chalitza. But if she's not olala yibum, she's not olala chalitza. However, once the lo chafatzti likachta is no longer usable to exclude her, because on an iser lav, you could still say likachta, it is possible likachta, and therefore it's included under that general rubric of the one misha. It's up to him, lekachta. So then, ino olala chalitza. So as we discovered, extended cases, which are usher, perhaps, only midrabbanan, and those are called shniyot, secondary generations to the originals, as we're about to list today. And we do not do yibum there, although we do have to do chalitza. And we also listed cases where we have an Iser Kedusha, or some reverse, the Iser Mitzvah with the Iser Kedusha. But the important issue is that as long as it's possible for the Kedushin to be Chal, then we have a need for Chalitza. So that was the beginning of this next Sugya. And this got very complicated because in the middle, we went through the whole issue of Zika. And the reason we did that is because there's that transition between the normal case of Yibum, which creates the Zika, and the case where the very fact of Yibum creates the Iser, you see? So that when you get the question of Achot Isha, which is the Makor of the Patur, try to see the perspective here, which is the Makor of the Patur, of the Aleha, and the way in which we interrelate Yibum with Erva, there is a fascinating offshoot of that problem, because the Achot Ishto can be created by the Yibum instead of being simply the Mokar to Pater the Yibum. And unbelievably, the word Litzror, which is the basis of the Ptur of Yibum in general from Erva, becomes an additional clue to a new situation, which is called Achot Ishto Bezika. And that's called Achot Zikukato, which is an offshoot of the idea of Achot Isha created by the concept of Zika in Yibum. Do you see how beautiful that is? When you take a look at the overall perspective, how dramatic it is, it's absolutely stunning. So we connected that, the beginning of the idea of the Arayas that are derived from Achot Ishto. Notice how we thought even in the first daf of the Masechet, maybe we should begin with Achot Ishto. After all, isn't that the whole idea? Right? It was beautiful. And we said, okay, no, we're going to put it in order of relationship, you know, of sanguinity. But the issue is clear in the Gemara. So the second parak basically also deals with the same question. And because of that, it has to open up with the discussion of Zika. And that leads us to an extension of the Arayas to Hasura Lazor Muteret Lazer. Because over there, the Achot Ishto that created the Isser also has a new Ptur of Erva within Achot Zgukato. Because, of course, one of the brothers can't marry because of the Arayas listed in the first parak. So then that brother is now included in the second parak as being able to do Yim Chalitz. It's sort of like a mirror image of the opening of the beginning of the Sechta. It's really beautiful. I mean, if you don't allow yourself to get overwhelmed by the pain of all of the detail, and you see the perspective, it's such a poetic Masechet. It's beyond belief. So it's truly related to David HaMelech's Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael. Where else could such beautiful music come from, if not from Yibum, for heaven's sake? So the whole story of David HaMelech, therefore, is the story of Yibum. Now, because we introduced the second group of women, I could call it the third group, because we could have the Shesh Arayot Chamurot Me'ela. So let's call it the different groups. We have the regular Arayos, the 15 or 16, according to Levi. And then we have the Shesh Arayot or the Chamesh Arayot Chamurot Me'ela, depending on whether you include the Eshet Aviv. And then we have the Isser Shniot, and we have the Isser Mitzvot and Isser Kedusha, depending on how you learn, what order we would put it. Obviously, we would prefer to put the Isurim that are Lavim or Asei D'Oraisa, and then we get to the Isurim that are D'Rabbanan. So we have these four different groups. Now, we never defined what this last group is. I mean, we know that there are such things as Arayas that the Rabbanan extended, but we don't know exactly what they are. And not only that, but remember that we have seen that the concept of Yevamos itself deals with the nature of offshoots, genetic offshoots, mimetic offshoots, and therefore we have this beautiful interrelationship of mimetic genetic offshoots, namely that Chazal need to penetrate to what is the concept behind the Erva and then see whether we should extend that concept to Aser new genetics. So in the end, we're going to come to the idea of Shnios. We want to know, where does the Torah indicate to us that there is really a virtue and a value in mimetic extensions like that? So that's our question today. So asks the Gemara today, before we get him into the list of who these women are, Omar Rav, as I said, we're like a line down from the middle of those small lines, Amar Rava, Remez L'Shniot Min HaTorah Minayin. Where does the Torah indicate the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let us know that there is a broader envelope in the set of Arayas than what we would have thought? Because note that it says in the Pasuk, Ki et kol ha-toevot ha-el asu anshei ha-aretz asher lifneichem vatitma ha-aretz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that all of these painful toevot. Now, El means very powerful, but that implies that there are powerful Isurim and there are less powerful Isurim. So Ha'el are kashot. All of these are very powerful in the Rechiyav of Karet, but does that not imply that there are also softer Isurim? Bechlal de'ika rakot. And what would be those softer Isurim? That is a remise to the extension that we call Shniot. So you see from there that indeed there is a remise in the Torah to extend the idea of the genetics with a mimetic base. Now, I just want to make sure I understand. How do you know that El means tough? Maybe it's just like a short form of Ele. Ah, I know that. My mashmudaya lishna de kosha. Dichtiv et elei haaretz lakach. The powerful ones of the land. So, okay, so that was the whole point, that we're talking about the ones that were the Zera Hamalucha and the noblemen, and those were the ones that went into Golos, and that Nebuchadnezzar takes to Bavel, and there it says, et elei haaretz lakach. So you see the lotion of El is basically powerful. So, all right, okay, I would give you a brief remez, but I don't know if you'll appreciate it too much. Okay, fine. I mean, but you have to be a bucky in the way the word is used. The idea of El is specifically related to the Ayil, as if it were Ele, and a ram is a symbol of the sexual prowess in the Gemara as well. So you call them all of these rams, right? So the idea over here is that it's specifically a remez to the concept of genetic extension. Anyway, so that's Elei Haaretz. So does this mean that Rav is essentially arguing in terms of the language with Rabbi Levi? The Amar Rabbi Levi, Kasher onashin shel midot yoter mi onashin shel arayot. In another beautiful expression of the Torah's hierarchy of values as compared to Christianity and the sick Western vision of what is more important, what is less important, Rabbi Levi is pointing out everybody gets so hung up about arayas. But does anybody get hung up about the question of whether your weights and measures are maybe 0.1% off? No, that they don't talk about. What do you think is more chomer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes? Having a little bit of sex with your mother, or having a scale in your store that is 0.1% off? Well, I can tell you, says Rabbi Levi, for sure the onish of midot that you're using that are not accurate is more chomer than the arayas, because by them it says shezeh nemar behen el, ve'elu nemar ele. So by the midot it says ki to'avot Hashem Elokecha kol osei ele kol osei avel. And when it comes to the arayas, it only uses the word El. Now, that seems to be saying that, according to Levi, that El is not the thing that is chomor, because he's saying Ele is chomor. So how do you get that? So, Lechora, he's arguing on Rava, right? El is kasha, but Ele is kasha mi El. Okay, I mean, he's arguing, he's agreeing it's kasha. He's just saying that when you add the, it's more kasha. But doesn't it say Eile by the Arayot? It says, Kikola Asher Yase, Mikola Toevot Ha'Eile, V'nichrutu Anafashot Ha'osot Min Kerev Amam. So why does that make it more chomer? No. The Eile is coming to tell me only these are Chayev Karet. But the other things that it says Eile, namely the Midot, are not Chayev Karet. So why do you say that it's worse to have a bad scale than it is to have arayas? Because when it comes to arayas, you can always do tshuva. But when it comes to the bad scale, you can't do tshuva. Because how are you going to ever figure out all of the people that you cheated? You know, dozens and dozens of people were in your grocery store, and there were innumerable transactions, and how are you going to be able to replace that money? Yes, I understand that there's an issue to put it into public works, as Rashi says. It's very nice, but it's obviously not a tikkun. It's not called a tshuva bal yos. It's a nice idea, but it's not mamish a tikkun. So mashenkin, when it comes to arayas, what's the problem? So you do tshuva, and that's the end of the thing, right? So at that point, you could be metakin. As long, says Rashi, that's a very interesting thing, because many argue on Rashi, but they didn't notice something in Rashi. That is, that Rashi says, as long as you didn't have a mamzer from the relationship. But that's because the Pusik says, what people think that Rashi is saying, if you had a mamzer, you can't do tshuva, which is ridiculous. Of course you can do tshuva. But notice that Rashi's word is efshir b'takana, not efshir b'tshuva. So if the mamzer is walking around all the time, and that is a constant presence of your chait in the world, that's a different thing. How are you going to be mitakein that? And that's what we're talking about. You can do tshuva on midos also, but you can't be mitakein. And therefore, it's keeping mitakein. So there's always going to be a problem of the kapara aspect of the tshuva. That's not the same thing as doing tshuva. Okay, anyway, I think it's a very valid, because it explains why it is that Rashi puts that in. Anyway, going by it. Rabbi Yudaim Ramihocha. And by the way, that's Rashi's approach to the Gemara. In other words, don't make the mistake. It's very important because people get very hung up on this. They'll say, oh, I can never do tshuva. This is something, muvat lo yuchal litkon. So if I miss Kriyat Shema, so the Gemara, okay, so how are you going to make up for Kriyat Shema? Maybe if you miss a davening, you can make it up again with the next tefillah. How are you going to be metakin Kriyat Shema? It doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. It means muvat lo yuchal litkon. It's a different issue. There's nothing. That's an important yesod. Continues the Gemara. Another basis. I say the basis of the Shnias is to be found in the beautiful pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech writes about his life's work, which is the Yoter Shahaya Kohelet Chacham. Od li medat et ha'am v'izein v'chiker tikein mishalim harbe. So what does that mean, izein v'chiker? Amar ulam rabbelazer. Before Shlomo came along, the Torah was doma l'kvifa she'en la'oznayim. You can have a basket, and the basket doesn't have any handles. So you can't really, as we say in English, you can't get a handle on it. And until Shlomo HaMelech appeared, you could not get a handle on the Torah. Because there was, first of all, no description of the conceptual basis of the Torah. And it didn't necessarily need to make sense. And people weren't interested in its making sense. It just was a question of, okay, this is what it says, this is what I do. It was Shlomo HaMelech who introduced the entire nature of chiker, of becoming a researcher, of trying to understand how we could be mekayim v'nishma of the Naaseh v'nishma. And in doing so, he provided handles to the Torah. Because then you can start seeing the Torah as sets of ideas and all the ways that those ideas become complex and they start to multiply. And that is the basis of what we call the mimetic extensions that Yavamas is so interested in. Because you don't have those concepts, and remember that concepts are conception, and conception is both mimetic and genetic. That's the whole idea. So once you get the concepts, you get conception, and once you get conception, you then get these extensions that are reproduced ideas in completely new ways, and therefore the Izein v'chiker, this is an amazing Gemara, especially Rashi understands it. The Pashtas people think it just means he put handles on it, because that way, since you have Gezeres, and Shlomo HaMelech was Gezer, the Tilas Yadayim, and he was Gezer the Shniyas, and even Abasko came out, and because of the Erevin, after Shlomo HaMelech was Metakein Erevin and the Tilas Yadayim, Abasko came out to say how wonderful it is, and so on. But as a matter of fact, Tosfos even asks, why didn't Abasko mention the Shniyas? How come it only talks about the Tilas Yadayim and the Erevin? That's the Yismachli B. Gamani. Maybe Tosher says, Shlomo kept adding new stuff and the Shnias came out afterwards. I don't know. But whatever. But the point is that unless you understand the relationship between the Izein v'chiker, you're stuck by explaining that the Izein was getting a handle on Torah in a different sense. Not getting a handle on conceptually on Torah. And therefore, it doesn't really fit into the chiker. But getting a handle, because if you have a basket without a handle, it can slip out of your hands. But if you have handles, it doesn't slip out of your hand. And therefore, if you add the shniyot, so then you're not likely to bump into an actual erva. But if you don't add the shniyot, you can get into trouble. So we want to make it very, very evident. That would be the pshat. And so Rashi's pshat is much more beautiful because it interrelates the idea of the Izein v'chiker to the additions of the Shnias. Therefore, has a double meaning all the way along. And so before, the Torah was a basket without a handle. Achibar Shlomo v'asolos naim. So that's a second mucker. Reb Hoshaya Amar, I'll give you another mucker. It says in the Pasuk that you should be careful and pira'eu. Al tavorabo. You better sit tamei alav yavor. Wait a second. Spread it out. What is para'eu? It means let your hair hang down. It means uncover it. Spread it out, right? So that means spread out the isurim so that you don't get close. Walk around to be stay male of, get far away from the isur, and then you'll be able to pass by without danger. So that obviously is an import of the concept of being made with additional distance, which is the Shnei'ez. Otherwise, you can actually be over. Omer of Ashi, I'll give you a mashal to what Rav Hoshaya means. Let's say you were hired to be Shomer of Pardes, right? So now, if you are a watchman, you don't want to stand right up by that Pardes to watch it because you don't have any perspective on it. So if you get a little bit of distance from the outside, then you can see the whole thing, and then you can immediately see if somebody breaks in. So if you're Mishamro b'bachutz, then kulo mishtamer. But if you're Mishamro b'lifnim, then only shelafanav mishtamer. V'shela acharav eno mishtamer. That's what he's saying. Says the Gemara, that's Rav Ashi's pshat, you'll excuse me, is there's two lashonos over here. One is, but this must be made up because Rav Ashi couldn't have said something so dumb. Or it's Berusa, which is, this is garbage. Meaning it's very misleading. Because what Rav Ashi, it seems to be saying is that if you actually will watch the wall of this Pardes from up close, there will be some level of shmira. But that's very misleading because there, when it comes to the Arayot, there won't be any level of shmira. Because Hatam, at least Shilafanav is Mishtamer. But Hacha, Ilav Shniot, Pagabe Erva Gufava. Wouldn't it be for the Shniot? Then you would be end up being Pogea in the actual Erva. Rav Kahana says, I have a much more, I believe, clear expression of that very idea than the Pasuk of Pera'eu, alta avorbo, for God's sake, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Ushmartem et mishmarti livilti asot michukota toevot asher nasu lefnechem velotitam ubahem. This is the mocker of what I keep telling you. It's fundamental to the Masechet. And that is that arayot themselves are not bad. That's the whole idea of Yevamas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the arayot mishmarti. But mishmeret is the word that is used for Gezeirah Derabanan. So how can arayas be mishmarti? And now it's saying, make another mishmeret. Vishamartem et mishmarti. That's the meaning of shniyas. So you see from here, this is the only place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it clear. I'm not trying to tell you what is fundamentally evil. I'm trying to tell you what is going to end up being a problem for you and make it evil. That's the problem. But it's not that fundamentally it's wrong, because otherwise how could there be places where it's right, like in Yibam? And as the Ramban says, that was true of all Arayas. This is a profound insight into the nature of Erva, and this is exactly why the Marsha explains that that's the reason that the Gemara Chagiga told us don't speak too detailed about Arayas in front of Shlosha or with Shlosha. And in any event, so this is beautiful. Shmartem et mishmarti, asu mishmeret l'mishmarti, in which case the main idea of the extension would be in terms of Arayas. So once again, Yevamas serves as the basis of conceptual things that extend through Kol HaTorah Kula, just like we saw of the Limudim are explained in Yevamas of all crazy place. So too is the very nature of Mishmeret HaTakonos Derabanan explained in terms of Yevamas of all things. Omalei Abayel Rav Yosef, but isn't that a D'oraisa? I mean, we were looking just for the Rabbanans, but you're making it a D'oraisa. Well, of course it's D'oraisa, but the Rabbanan are mefarish. What is the Torah referring to with the Mishmeret? Oh, I mean, come on. So then that's true about every mitzvah in the Torah. Kol HaTorah Nami, Pirshu Rabbanan. I mean, so what are you going to call Tfilin the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan are mefarish the Tfilin? I mean, I understand. But then you're turning it into a D'oraisa. So let's not confuse the issue. The pasuk indeed is an esmachta. It's not an absolute chiyuv. And the concept itself is a derabonan. Okay, this is a little bit of a problem. Because, I mean, the pashtus is that, that there could be obviously a basis that to the Iker HaLimud itself, which is not just Esmach the Biyama, because the Rambam says in his own approach, in his Akdamot of Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Ramban says it in the Pirush on the Chumash, that it's actually a mitzvah min ha-tera la-zos mishmeres to the tera. So then he's not understanding this as being Esmach. It says Esmach the Biyama means only in terms of this specific Isser. But it's not in the concept is not in Esmach the Biyama, according to the Rambam and the Ramban. So it's important to be mechalic in understanding what we mean by the pasuk being at Esmach. He's clearly not learning this Gemara, Kipshuta. Tana Rabbanan. So now let's get into what the Shniot are and try to understand the structure, the pattern that defines certain things as Shniot and other things as not Shniot and non-extensions. So Tana Rabbanan. What are these Shniot? Okay, so Ein Imo Ve'Eim Aviv. So first of all, a grandmother would not be included in the aim in the Torah, and a grandfather is not included bichlal. We never have anything with fathers, but nonetheless, the aim aviv and the aim imo are extensions of the concept of father and mother. Now, this is because, as the Gemara is going to come out, and this has to do with the aspect of Shlomo that also put the simple handles on something, not to get confused. And what's very important in this Gemara, as many of the Gedolei Achronim explain, is to understand that the way that people refer to things and the way that people look at things is very important in terms of arayas. So that since there's an idea of mommy, and mommy relates to the idea of daddy, because there's a concept of grandmommy. Why do we call? We call a grandmother a grandmother. And if she's even more grand, she becomes a great grandmother. And then she becomes an even greater, great, great grandmother. Now that means that in people's minds, this is related to motherhood. And therefore, once we have that concept of a relationship to motherhood, so then it automatically is extended in to my grandparents. But grandparents is grandfather, great-grandfather, and so on. So even though these things may not even have a moker in the Torah, because there's no relationship of motherhood to father, nonetheless, since they all share this idea of grandparents in people's eyes, because of that, in order to make it clear to people how chomer, specifically the issue, and this is an amazing, amazing thing that the Achronim speak out, is that those arayas that you're closest to are the ones most likely to turn into arayas. So even though this doesn't seem to us reasonable, but like the Achronim speak out, listen, think about it. It's not reasonable because in your mind, what that's talking about is here you've got this man who's going over to his mother and says, how'd you like to go to bed? Obviously, it's ridiculous, right? But imagine a case where the mother has to realize how close she is to committing an erva. Because tell me something, how really unlikely is it for mother and son who've been sleeping together for years since he was an infant, right? Okay, so now does it cross her mind that, whoops, he just had his 9th birthday? And now if his penis touches me in the wrong place, so then it's an act of erva? This is just sort of natural, you know, you've been sleeping together, so okay, fine, you know, a little bit of fun on the side. I mean, it's normal. That's the kind of things that you need to take into consideration, speak out the Achronim. So if you are going to rescue a person from arayas to be marchik, it means even things that are very, very common, the more common they are, the more you need to create a sensitivity to, but you better watch out because they can become problematic, even though until now you've been looking at it as something that is very just part of life. And therefore, what the Gemara said before is you'll come to actually be over on an erva without even realizing it. And therefore, we need specifically, when it comes to motherhood, and we'll see that these continue on, grandmother, and so on, no matter how many doros, that's in order to define this nature of the closer the more Shmira you need. Okay, this, by the way, there's a lot of discussion. The Shloah has a big discussion also about, my father Zatzal always used to talk about this, because people have the idea that as the generations get weaker, you need to make things more comfortable for them, right? And the Shloah points out, as do many other Achronim, but he's the one who made a big fuss of it, that it's just the opposite. You see from here that the Torah provides the specific structures that only are extended as people think they need to be more comfortable. So then they need to feel more strongly the problems, not less strongly. So therefore the Shloah says, you see, people get new chumras, and then new chumras on those chumras, and every generation thinks it's better because it's got more chumras. Those chumras are what keeps it going, because otherwise they'd be kaput completely. And if you take a look at what happens to those who take the opposite approach, you know, no, let's make things more comfortable. The end result is that nothing is left. You see this all the time. You'll do like a little thing that's less chumra. What do you have? You have to be so makbid on tefillah that you have to dafka wear long pants when you're coming to daven. You can't wear shorts and so on and so forth. And it gradually, there is a wearing away of the whole nature of the chashivas of a thing. And then you become, well, I really need to go to Ma'ariv because Ma'ariv is really only rishus. Then it's, well, mincha is the middle of the day, but I'll make it up, you know. And sometimes this is the way it goes. These are the realities. So dafka, the idea of this mishmeret is survival. That's what mishmeret means. Okay. Sorry for talking so much, but I just feel these are such profoundly fundamental points that the Gemara is bringing up that it's kedai to note. Okay, so this is the grandparents are here. Eshet Avi Aviv and Eshet Avi Imo. Now, there is a concept of Eshet Av, so we extend that to generations to be Eshet Avi Aviv. And also, even though there was no such concept by an aim, but again, because of the concept of grandparent, we make the same thing true on the mother side. The eshet achi ha'av min ha'em. The eshet, so if we have achi ha'av, remember that a father's brother is only osur midoraisa from the same father. But if the father has a brother from that is min ha'em, then it's eshnia. The eshet achi ha'em min ha'av. And a mother's brother who has a wife is also usher. Now, note that there is a pattern here, and we're going to get to that pattern later on. And the nature of that pattern is very simple. A married male turns his wife into the equivalent of the female of that relationship. So in other words, if there is an isser on the woman, so then on the achot, so we have an isser of the achotimo. So then we create also the isser of a wife of a mother's brother, which now becomes the achotimo. So the through marriage sister is the equivalent of the actual sister. And we're going to see how this provides a basis for the various shnios, some of them anyway, as we go along. I should say the various, but various shnias as we go along. And then we have Eshet Achia Av Min Ha'em, and then we're going to be talking about Eshet Achia Em Min Ha'av. Did this include Eshet Achia Em Min Ha'em too? Or is it really only Eshet Achia Em Min Ha'av to be discussed? Then Kalat Beno, your own daughter-in-law is Aser. So too is your son's daughter-in-law Aser. So too is your daughter's daughter-in-law Aser. But a man is allowed to marry the wife of his father-in-law, who is obviously was married later, is not the woman that mothered your wife. But this is nonetheless, you would think that it looks like your wife's mother, looks like your mother-in-law, nonetheless, mutar adam be'eshet chamiv and be'eshet chorgo. If you have a stepson, so you married a woman with a son, and that son gets married, that daughter-in-law, a stepdaughter-in-law, is not a problem. But the daughter of your stepson is usher, but that is actually an isser d'oraisa, because the daughter of your stepson would be the Isser of Isha Ubat Binah. And that's Mamash the Arayas. The Gemara is going to, why are we including this case in a list of the Arayas since that is an Isser the Arayas? So you would be Usser in the daughter of your stepson, and your stepson is allowed to marry your wife and daughter, and that's fine. So you can marry your wife and your daughter, not related. And as we've seen, that happens very often. And here we have a curious situation. Because the wife of your stepson can say to him, look, you are allowed to marry me, assuming she's not currently married to your stepson. You are allowed to marry me, but my daughter is usher to you. Of course, because that's a d'oraisa. And in fact, that's the question. Isn't bat chorgo a d'oraisa? Dichtiv et bat benav et bat pita. You're not allowed to marry a woman and the daughter of her son, which is this case. The daughter of her son would be your stepson's daughter. So why did we list it? No, because we're leading up to that cute statement. The cute statement is, see, you're allowed to marry me, and a generation further from me, all of a sudden you're an Isser D'oraisa. Me, there's not even an Isser D'rabbanan, and my daughter is an Isser Karas D'oraisa. How do you like that? So since it wanted to say that, quote, Eshet Chorgo Omeret Lo, Ani Muteret Lecha, and Biti Asur Lecha, and over there it's even though Afagav the Biti Asur Lecha Midioraita, but Bididi, even so the Rabbanan didn't make a gzera in me. Because of that, it introduced that statement by saying that bat chorgo is us, or just to remind us, it didn't mean it's us only mit Rabbanan, and it wasn't counting it in the 8 shniot that are mentioned here, which, by the way, are only part of the picture. There's actually 20 shniot that the Rambam lists, and we'll be getting to the rest of them tomorrow, most of them tomorrow. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if you're just looking for cute situations, so couldn't the wife of your father-in-law say to you the same thing? She could say, hey, guess what? You can marry me, even though my daughter would be usher to you. Why would my daughter be usher to you? Because she would be your wife's sister. And therefore, she would be usher to you if I am your father-in-law's wife, right? By definition. So, if that's the case, why don't we have that same statement? Yeah, because we could have said that, right? That she's achot ishto. But remember, the difference is that you can't say that necessarily. Because suppose this guy's wife had died, and now he's carrying on with his father-in-law's ex-wife, right? So, over there, I mean, if his wife died, she can't say, and my daughter would be asura to you because she would be your wife's sister. Because if his wife had died, she wouldn't be asura with the wife's sister. Well, we don't want to make statements where people are going to start thinking, wait a minute, but is that necessarily so? It ain't necessarily so. And so because of that, we didn't bother mentioning that case, but obviously it could happen. But it's lo psikalei. Now, this is a very interesting situation because it turns out that since in the Yerushalmi, the Eshet Chamiv is usher, not because of Shnias, but because it looks bad. Because people don't really know, and they know she was married, so they think she's marrying his mother-in-law. So because of that, they usher. Tosis brings a story where a guy was all set up. It was the day of the wedding. The Rabbeinu Tam got word of this, and he made them throw out everything they'd prepared for the wedding. It cost him $100,000, and he was not allowed to go ahead with the wedding to marry his father-in-law's wife. And so this became, because of that psak and other cases, that they actually ushered marrying a father-in-law's wife. This became a big issue in the postgame. Some of the Ashkenazim were extremely makbid on this based on the Rabbeinu Tam. Other Edot in Yisrael were not as makbid. Question of whether they did get married, whether they have to get divorced, all kinds of shilas. But what's fascinating is that even Rav Moshe got involved in this, which is amazing, right? So the Shulchan Aruch brings both shitas, right? And the one that's matir, he brings stam. Mutter adam be'eshet chamiv. And then he says, v'yesh misha oser. Now the yesh misha oser, that became mamish, the Ashkenazim. That was absolutely Yesh Misha Oser, and the Marshal writes, you even have to be Megarisher, even if you did. Now, believe it or not, into that incredible machlokas, it's like Bein Elei Haaret, so to speak, Rav Moshe sticks his head into it, and he comes up with a chiddush, and he says, well, nowadays, where we no longer can marry two women at the same time, so then this halacha has changed, because you cannot have a situation where your father-in-law is going to be married both to your mother's, to your wife's mother and to another woman at the same time. And that would have been the basis for people to get confused about whether you're marrying your mother-in-law or not. But nowadays, it's very clear that, you know, your wife grew up. She's not even in the house, maybe. I mean, and certainly was not there at the same time. This was her mother in the house. So nowadays, people would not be worried about that. And since the Yerushalmi mentions Beferish that it's only a din because of Marit Ayin, it's not a din in Shniot. So therefore, I say there is no Marit Ayin, and he brings a lot of rias to that and so on. But then he says, very beautiful Lashon, I'll read you his Lashon. And he says, Be'etzem yesh lismoch gam lemaisa. He says, look, I'm really sure about this. And I really believe that you could be semich on it, lemaisa, right? But I want you to know that, you know, you can't really be sure that you know what you're talking about. I mean, ulai lohi gati l'shum madrega. Maybe I think I'm like really hot stuff, he writes by himself. Maybe I think I'm really hot stuff, but I'm basically nowhere, and therefore I'm totally fooling myself. And even if I do know a little bit how to learn, maybe loyanti bitov mitzadatirda bavanotenu arabim, you know, it could be that I wasn't able to concentrate properly because life is tough. So, and not only that, he writes, I don't even have Sforim handy to really look into, despite the fact that he brought 50 different rayas from 50 different places. But I don't really have any Sforim here. So I say it like this, and he's writing this to a Rav in a town. And it's during the war and he doesn't have any. So he says, but I'll tell you this. If you will be maskim with me, so then I would say you can rely on me. But I don't want to say just close your eyes and do it. But if you agree that it sounds right to you, then I'm ready to stick my neck out also. It's a very cute tshuva. And, it's amazing to find it over here. And this sugya sounds like so far-fetched, right? A tshuva about the shnias, Bisman has said, fantastic. Okay, so we have this exact question. All right, continuing. So what did we get up to? Yeah, Ej Omara. Now, four women out of this group that we just had of eight women have a limit, meaning it does not keep going. So when it comes to grandmothers, for instance, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, great, and so on and so forth. At sof kol hadorot, right? Those kind of things have extensions. And if it's generations downward, also, if it's direct descendants, it also continues on, all to the end of all generations. But Rav himself could only locate, he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, that there were four out of these eight, that it's that specific generation that is Elser, but it does not go on. So that's called Yeshlem Hefsek. It stops right here. The buck stops there. Now, Rav was able to figure out three of those, but he couldn't figure out the fourth. And he said, the ones I know are Eshet Achi Ha'em Min Ha'av. We said that we are going to create a brand new concept of an Isser, of a mother's brother who comes from the same father as the mother. So even though the Torah never asserted at any case that is similar to that, but we end up comparing it to the case of the Eshet Achia Av Min Ha'av, and that's why we asserted Eshet Achia Av Min Ha'em. But those cases are not really direct extensions. They're cases that are usher because people call it auntie. They use the same word, and that's the same thing as grandma. That's ma. Grandma is a ma on some level, and we want to answer that. So that, you would have thought, goes on, but it doesn't have any basis in the Torah. And therefore, since there is no Ishus B'Diraisa in it, so therefore we don't extend it. It's only that one particular case. And Kalato. Now, this is ridiculous. Kalato is D'Oraisa. Gemara is going to ask, Kalato? What are you throwing in Kalato in the middle of the Shnias for? That's crazy. Fine, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's ignore it for now. So Ziri says, I'll tell you what the other case is that is only buck stops here. And that is Eshet Avi Imo. So the wife of your mother's father, which we're calling the equivalent of a great-grandmother and so on, which it's not really, that is an extension of the aim only for one generation, because there is no concept of mother of father. And therefore, we answered only that. The way to remember what Ziri said beyond Rav is that the Talmidim learned by Rav is called Eloi de Rav. So somebody who's giving is an Amora speaking out Rav, he's called, he was Emet Eloi de Rav. So Ziri added one generation above the generation that Rav himself had discussed. Because we're talking about over Eshet Achia Eim, what Rav discussed. And Ziri went one generation beyond that. So because of that, we call it Eloi de Rav. Very cute simon. And why didn't...
Simon to remember to drink.
Oh, thank you. And why, in fact, did Rav not mention it? Because he says, no, because I'm worried, since the whole basis of all of this is the commonality of the word grandpa or grandma, so I'm worried if you make it a hefsek, it's still going to be confusing, because you have to answer anything that you would call grandma or great-grandpa. And since over here this would be your great-grandpa, so... You know, we want to make sure that it would go for all generations. We're trying to be mitrachek. And let me see the Rebbe's cup over there. Did he put any boost in his cup? Ah, nice size cup. Very good. Okay, we're learning here. Let's take a look at the Gabbai's cup. The Gabbai also is... Oh, the Gabbai's got a cup like the Rebbe. Excellent. Okay. All righty.
I do not need it anymore by now.
Okay. So now, what do we get up to? Ziri. So why, in fact, is it okay to make a hefsek? So Ziri says, because if a person is going to his father's house, he knows that he's more likely to bump into Krovim than in his mother's house, because there's more of the issue of the Krovim that through paternal lines. So, but over here, lo chaloshki achvaz, it doesn't go that much. Because he's careful from those arayas. Ask the Gemara, you included your son-in-law? The son-in-law is a D'Oraisa. No, sorry. I didn't mean son-in-law. I meant your son's son-in-law or your daughter's son-in-law. So, kalat b'no. But you're saying kalat b'no? Kalat b'no doesn't have a hefsek. It's not one of the four because it says kalato is erava. Kalat b'no is a shnia. And the same thing would be true of your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson's kala would also be asura. V'chein ha-tomer b'vno ben b'no ad sof kol ha-dorot. And this, in fact, is the pattern of the genealogy that goes down directly from you that we did not make any arbitrary end to it. Right. Sorry. I mean kalat b'to. And since kalat bito does not exist in any form in the D'Oraita, because what would it mean in terms of the D'Oraita? It would be your daughter. But this is kalat bito. Because of that, we said the buck stops here. And that's something else. And I'll tell you why. The Omer of Chista is a very cute Gemara, because Rav Chista says, you know, I heard the following from a very great man. And that's Rabbi Ami. And Rabbi Ami liked to speak in riddles. So what he said is, they only answered the kala because of the kala. Now, I want to tell you something, said Rabbi Chista. When I was a little boy, we went to the circus, and there was a fortune teller. And the fortune teller looks at me and says, this boy is going to be a malfana. You're going to be a malfana. Now, a malfana is like a teacher, some kind of, I'm not sure what he meant. So I figured, once people start talking about these things, you have to make it happen the way you want it to happen, not the way they might be thinking. Maybe he's talking about being in charge of the mafia. I don't think that's what I want to be. So therefore, I said to myself, you know, when I heard Rav Ami's riddle, Lo Asru Kala Ela Mipnei Kala, so Amin, I say to myself, well, if that means I'm going to become a big Talmud Chacham and a Rebbe, so then I'm going to try to figure out this riddle on my own. And that will set me on the path of being the kind of Malfana I want to be. So Asbra Midait. Now, if it means the worst it could mean would not be the mafioso, it would mean to be teaching in the nursery. Okay, so if that's what I'll be, then I'll find out right now. I'm going to try to figure out what the riddle was. And if all it was meant to be is I'll be a teacher in a nursery school, I'll see that I can't figure it out. And then I'm going to go and ask the Rabbana Dasula Be Kanishta. So when I go to shul, I'll find some Talmidei Chachamim there. But guess what? I figured it out. So it means I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham. And Hashta Savarta Midati. You know what he was saying? He was saying, the only reason that we made an Isser to Kalat Bito is because it's similar in people's minds. We would still say your daughter-in-law, your granddaughter-in-law, Mishum Kalat Bino. So we're not going to make an extension to an extension that itself is an extension. Omar Le'abaya L'Rava, but you know why they assert Kalat Bito, because of Kalat Bino? Take a look at the situation. You know the Kalot in Bar Beit Zitoi's house? Rav Papa says, and in my generation, you've got the Kalas in my house, the Kalat of the Rav Papa Bar Abba. Rav Ashi says, and nowadays, we have the same exact situation with the Kalat of the Beimari Bar Isaac. Now, what is this supposed to mean? Obviously, there are thousands of families that have Kalat Beno and Kalat Bito. So the Mefarshim explained like this. This could be Nogea LaHalacha, according to some Rishonim, believe it or not. That since the Gemara gives examples, it means that it's only going to be Osir in the case of equivalent examples. And what are these examples? So there's two things that are pointed out. A, in all of these examples, the kalat of the ben and the kalat of the bat lived in the family home. And therefore, people would easily get confused between one or the other. Furthermore, B, in all of the examples listed, the kalot were called by the name of the family. Kalot bar papa, or the kalot specifically of Bar Tzitoi. So because of that, it was easy to get confused between the Kalat HaBat and the Kalat HaBen. And therefore, it's Mashma in the Ritva even that he held that it's only where it's that situation. But everybody disagrees with that, and it's not brought LaHalacha at all. So that Kalat Bito is Asura, even if they're in a different city. Iboilu, but one thing you did not make clear, you talked about Eshet Achi Ha'em Min Ha'av, but you never said what the idea is of an Eshet Achi Ha'em Min Ha'em. So what would be the din over there? How far did you carry this halacha? Eshet Achi Ha'av Min Ha'av is the Eshet Achi Ha'em Min Ha'em. What would be the deal of the Eshet Achia Emina? I mean, I'll tell you what my problem is and why I think this is a valid question to ask. Because the idea of the Eshet Achi that we said, we explained that Eshet Achia Av Min Ha'em. Over there we did Aser, the wife of a father's brother from a mother, so a maternal brother. That I understand we Aser. And we answered the Eshet Achia Aim from a paternal brother. But you know why? Because there is the word Av in each one of those cases. We've got the woman was the wife of the father's brother. And at least even in the next case, she was the wife of the mother's brother from a common father. But over here, there's no father mentioned at all. So maybe it's only because there's a father that's involved, which is the mucker of the Diraisa. So maybe if there's a tzad av, the Rabbana Ragoza. But if there's a tzad only of an aim, so eshet achi ha'aim min ha'aim, that has no father in it at all, and eched like a tzad av, the Rabbana maybe didn't answer, lo gozer. Or, again, because of the fact that this is called uncle, and this is called auntie, It doesn't matter what the technicalities are. Omer of Safra, well, what do you mean it doesn't matter what the technicalities are? We have a general rule that we have a gezerah. We don't make a gezerah le gezerah. So this would be a gezerah le gezerah. He grew for gezerah. Omar Rava, that's absurd. Half of the cases here are gezerah le gezerahs. And we're not calling them gezerah le gezerahs because of the way that they're confusing in people's minds. So that's what I'm asking. Is the idea of anti a concept, an icon in people's minds? In which case, as we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechet, the idea of having icons means you don't go through the details every time. And therefore, it can't be called the gezerah le gezerah because you're not going through the details. You just know, stay away from anti. Bad news. Okay, so then if that's the case, all of them could be gezerah le gezerah. I'll give you examples, okay? Your mother is an erva, right? Grandma, mother's mother, is the shnia. So why did we aser grandmother from the father? Because of grandmother from the mother. Why did we answer? Because you call that your grandparents. They're all called grandmothers. You don't give a hang in your mind with the icon of grandmother to start working out which grandmother it is. I mean, like little kids don't even know. You know, they know this is grandma. Oh, how is she your grandma? Ah, she's just my grandma. Is it a maternal grandma or a paternal grandma? Looks like you're crazy. What does that mean? But he knows it's a grandma. Okay, Sekula Dvei Ima Rabati. They're all called Ima Rabati, grandmother. Beautiful. Same word. Okay, I'll give you another example. The Eshet Aviv is a real Erva, your father's wife, right? So the wife of your father's father. So we extended that. Is also an Erva. But then we made an Erva on the wife of your mother's father, even though there's no such concept at all in the Torah, because in people's minds, it's the same idea. They don't know. They only know that it's like grandma or great-grandma or whatever. V'taimamai, all of them are called grandpa. The Be'aba Rabba correlate. So they're all called grandparents. I'm not going to start making differences. I'll give you another example. Eishet Achiyav Mina'av. Look, your father's brother is married, and that is Osir Midiraisa. That auntie is Osir Midiraisa. Eishet Achiyav Mina'im. So when your father only has a brother who's a maternal brother, we answered that also. Because in your mind, that's auntie. Now, we created an Isser of Eishet Achiyav Mina'av. Only because it's similar to the Eshet Achiyah Av Mina'im. So isn't that Gzera L'Gzera? Why did we answer it? Because they're all called auntie, uncle's wife. Kula are called Beit Dodi. We call that my uncle's wife. And start thinking, how is she your uncle? Is your wife's? Is it your father's brother? Is it your mother's brother? Is it your father's brother from a common mother? Is it your mother's brother? Ah, come off, man, I don't know. All I know is it's my auntie, okay? So then, isn't that so common? I mean, you got to sit back and think for 10 minutes before you're able to answer the questions that they put on those genealogy charts if you're trying to figure out one of those programs, you know. You got to figure out all the things. I don't remember, but anyway, but because of that. So you can't ask me, what do you mean it's a gzera le gzera? If we're going to worry about gzera le gzera, we're going to have to throw out half of these situations. So therefore, I'm going back, forget about Rav Safra, I'm going back to the question. Yes or no? Is the fact that there's no father in the Isser of a mother's, the case of the mother's brother from a common mother, is that considered to be included or not? Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya. Toshma, when Rav Yehuda Bar Shila came from Eretz Yisrael, he came to Bavel, he said an amazing thing. That in Eretz Yisrael, they came up with a rule, which obviously, as the Rishonim point out, could not have been in effect at the time of the discussion in the Gemara, because the Gemara was giving all kinds of other reasons for extensions that had to do with common naming. So it was a taxonomy based on the way that people would actually refer to it. But in Eretz Yisrael, they gave it a conceptual determination, and that's an entirely different idea. And what they said was that where you have a female who is an erva, then a male who is that female and then he gets married, that female, which is his wife, is the equivalent of the original female that the male could have been but wasn't. And therefore, that's the way to define these extensions. Now, Rava's response to that was, oh, come off it, man. I'll show you plenty of cases where that is simply not true. Okay? Omar Rava, the Kololo, you call that a general rule? It's not a general rule. I mean, what about the case of your mother-in-law? So, is your mother-in-law an Erava? Yes. Did we not say beferish that your father-in-law's wife is mutter? Now, your father-in-law's wife is the new male equivalent of Chamoto who turned into a female. It's a classic example. So how come we didn't include it? If this is supposedly the rule, what do we do about this case? Huh? Give you another example. Your mother-in-law's daughter is an Erva. As we pointed out before, she is your wife's sister. But nonetheless, your mother-in-law's son's wife, we said beferish, is muteret. But isn't that the equivalent of a male who turned into a female by marrying one? Yes. So the female of your is the same thing as your mother-in-law's daughter, except that it's your mother-in-law's daughter because her son turned into a female by marrying one. So now, okay, but we didn't say it's us, sir. Give you another example, okay? You want me to show you how crazy this rule is? What's the din of your father-in-law's daughter? Your father-in-law's daughter is your wife's sister, so she's definitely us, sir. But the din was, we said beferish, that the wife of the son of your father-in-law is mutter, despite the fact that he should be her, because he married and it's the same situation as the daughter, which would be a deraisa. Here's another example. Your wife's daughter is asura midiraisa. That's your stepdaughter? Yes. But the stepdaughter, who is actually your stepson's wife, which according to this general rule should be the equivalent of your stepdaughter, is not usur. And I'll give you another example. Your wife's daughter's daughter is an isur d'oraisa, isha ubat bita. But the wife of your wife's son's son is mutter. Eshet ben chorgo is mutter. Why isn't the eshet ben chorgo the full equivalent of the daughter, since she is that male's female side? So, okay, so obviously, can we cut out the word kolola? It's not a kolal. Fine, okay. So, I mean, he must have been coming to tell me something. I mean, I understand we misinterpreted it to being kolal. What is the case that it's referring to? Ah, it's got to be this case. It's the only one that makes sense. So, Hada Rav Yehuda bar Shila, what case was he coming to conclude? Is it not exactly this case? The Eshet Achia Eim Min Ha'Eim. Right? Because what we said is wherever the female will be an erva, so then they were gozer on the wife of the zohar in that same situation to be a shnia. And that's exactly what happened here. What's the case in the Torah that is the equivalent to your, you have your mother's sister. Your mother's sister is asura, both paternal and maternal sister. And therefore, your mother's maternal brother, and she goes ahead and gets married, is the same thing. So the wife of the equivalent male should be usur, which is the wife of your mother's brother, even though it's only a maternal brother. There's your answer. That's the only case that he was adding. So, wait a minute, but so then if that's the case, then what's the difference? I mean, is this a rule or is it not a rule? You talked about all those other cases to prove that it's not a rule. And then instead of throwing it out in the garbage, you said, but it does answer our question. How does it answer your question? I mean, it only answers your question if I can find a clear-cut reason why it applies to this specific case and not to the other cases. Yes, I can. And here is the answer. How many marriage steps away? How many marriages do we need to put someone in the equivalent parallel male position as the female? That's the important nakuda. In the case of your mother's brother's wife, whether maternal or paternal, you create it with one act of marriage. That's all that we need, and you've already got the relationship. One kedushin. So when your mother's brother gives kedushin to this woman, she is then and there this problem of auntie. So therefore, I don't care where it comes from. Masha Inkin, all of those other five cases, they were all needed to have two acts of kedushin to create any relationship. Let's say we have the case of Chamoto or Chamiv. So we said Eshet Chamiv should be the equivalent of Chamoto, right? Wrong. Because first, you needed to take a wife. That was the first act of kedushin. That created the relationship of Chamiv, right? That's the in-law relationship. Then when your father-in-law marries this woman who is not the mother of your wife, that's the second step of kedushin. And now you want to say that two acts of kedushin put the parallel male into the female of being your mother-in-law. No, because only where it's one step of kedushin away. And all of those cases are the same. Your father-in-law's son's wife, we said, that should be usher because it's the equivalent of the daughter. But that's not true, because first you have to create the in-law relationship with your father-in-law by marrying this woman. And then he has to wait when this your brother-in-law's son gets married. That's the second act of kedushin. No. So then, therefore, it does not apply as a rule. But where there's only one, like this case, it does apply.